Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 454. Beautiful monster, not my terminology. Got it from my friend Scott. He got it from a podcast. I think I shared it before on my podcast, but it's also in a book where these two dudes are talking. And this past, I guess it was a week and a half ago or so, it really hit home, and I really, really understood the meaning behind beautiful monster and what one needs to do with that beautiful monster to move forward. Not easy, not fun. And this definitely, I remember sitting down going, not really super fired up to share this at all. But I've shared just about everything that I could possibly. So there's no reason that I would hold back now. It was just hard because this is the big, big thing where you separate yourself and you become that higher version of yourself, but that monster is still there. And when it rears its head, because it will, because it's still there, it's still part of you, it's just that much more shocking. And it seems to hurt that much more. But that is a crucial step that I think everybody's got to go through. Because on a particular day, had an amazing moment in the morning, and then 6 hours later, it was complete 180. And then the next 3-4 days was just me really looking at every little aspect, and not fun, not familiar, not easy. But at the end of that, I hit a place where I was like, you know what? I would not feel right now as good as I do had I not gone through these past 2-3 days. And that was clear as a bell to me, complete clarity. And I'm like, that's what it is. It's exactly what it is. And that is why I think this is just a real super important podcast. Because again, it's talking about that beautiful monster and what that is. And I didn't make up the terminology, but it's you loving all of you. And you accepting and embracing all of you. And this is something I talk about in the podcast, but your coping mechanism, can become so strong. And that's how you survived. But then you hit a point going, okay, that doesn't serve me now. And it's like, well, now what do I do? And that's where it's like, okay, this is not easy. It's not natural. It's not simple. And again, for me, podcast is going to, turn 8 in a month. I've been doing this for a long time. And I wasn't like super comfortable sitting down. And once I start talking about it, it's like, all right, here it goes. But it wasn't fun, to share, what I'm sharing today. But I do think it's vital for people to understand that the work never stops. You never hit the destination. Guess what? Grew personally, and now I'm done. Get to chill and just get to hang out. That ain't happening. If you have that experience, I'd love to listen to your podcast or how you got there. So if you have any questions, comments, want to share anything, tell me your story, ask me a question, I would love to hear from you. ProUpodcast@gmail.com. And just shout out with anything. But thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and enjoy. Here we are in 2023. Time just keeps moving, doesn't it? Hope you are well. Hope this finds you well. All right, I'm going to start with a list. 10 ways to boost your energy. Number one, Appreciate the great people and things in your life. Number two, tune out other people's negativity. Three, forgive those who have hurt you. Four, be who you really are. Five, choose to listen to your inner voice. Some of these really resonate with me, like that one. Six, embrace change and enjoy your life as it unfolds. Another one I dig. Seven, choose your relationships wisely. Couldn't agree more. Eight, recognize those who love you. You know, I've said this a lot, is, you know, find the people that are aligned with you, that see the good in you. Nine, love yourself too. Yep, that's part of the big topic of today. You got to dig you. You got to love you, all of you. 10, do things your future self will thank you for. And that is listening to your higher self. So definitely dig that one. So I've used this phrasing forever, but I've always, you know, talked about being on a path, and I'll be talking to, you know, clients or friends or people or on the podcast, and I'll say, it's like, I got up, I left 3 hours before you, I got to the bridge, at the bridge the sign says, you know, go left, and I'm like, you know, I went there, and, you know, it's blocked, you can't do that, go right. So it's like, as I learn things that have benefited me, that have, you know, aided in my growth moving forward down my path, those are the things that I've shared. So it's just like, well, yeah, me and you were going to go walking in the woods, hiking, and I left 3 hours before you, and I said, hey, I went left, but it's, you know, washed out, you know, flooded, blocked, you know, impassable, just go right. You know, it's not bragging. You know, I've just gathered data, and now I'm sharing that data. And that's how I always feel. So the big thing that I've discovered, and I'm quite sure I shared part of this, but it's the title of this episode, Beautiful Monster. It's it's a crazy concept to grasp, but I'm like in the thick of it, and there will be part of this podcast that I will not enjoy. And it's that whole, you know, the first time you meditate, you go, oh my goodness, I'm a mess. My mind is scattered. It's just one crazy thought after another. You know, because you just, you know, for the first time, you're looking somewhere, focusing that you haven't. And it's pretty much seeing chaos in the beginning. Because if you've never meditated, it's chaos. It just is, because you've never stopped and looked. So when you do it, it can be overwhelming. And that can make people run. You know, I mean, again, when I look back at my life, like, I really poured everything into, you know, certain ventures, sports, you know, relationships, whatever, and not aware of it at all, and not 100%, but you can see I wasn't putting anything into me. I didn't know how to put into me. I was doing things externally that, you know, were good, or that I thought I needed, or, you know, but it was like, okay, I'm putting this energy. But then after a while, you start going, I mean, this is kind of like the revelation I had. When I look back now, I'm like, oh, it was just all distractions from working on what I really should have been working on, what I really should have been focusing on. But I didn't know. I mean, I had no clue, no idea. Hence, the long time it took me to get here. And, you know, but, you know, it also comes with the gift that I get to share all this stuff. So here's what happens. I'm just gonna jump into it. It's like not a, like a, oh yeah, comfortable, stoked about sharing this little tidbit. I mean, you can probably tell already I'm not charging forward. So here it goes. So it was Friday morning, and I had this moment where I like kind of felt, saw, sensed who I could be, like a version of myself. There was just a moment where I just felt this thing, and I was like, you know, if I can feel that for a second, it's there, it's possible. I'm not like, what if I existed in that space? It was kind of one of those moments. So I was pretty stoked. And Six hours later, this happened. My beautiful monster is my anger. So for whatever reason, when I moved in here, and it was actually 10 years to the date, I kind of dubbed the parking lot mine. I, you know, pretty protective dude of my family, my friends, where I live, whatever. And but for whatever reason, when people park there, just like, hey, you can't park there. Hey, you can't park there. And I've gone through a bunch of stuff, you know. Never got into a fight, but, you know, people got out of the car. People just talk a lot of smack, you know. One dude had a knife. One dude said he had a gun. You know, just all this stuff. And I never questioned it. I mean, yeah, that's what I do. You know, which is what I did. You know, I put myself in a situation of going, okay, I'm going to, you know, police this area. And, you know, and it was, I don't know, for some reason, like 90% of the people, like rarely, like one out of 20 cars, someone would be like, oh, okay, thanks. Like, and they were like, okay, cool. You know, and they would just, they'd just leave, you know, like, oh, no problem. It's just always like this battle, like F you, right, like out the gate. It'd be like a little, you know, teenage girl, and she'd be like, F you, who F think you are? I'm like, oh my God, you can't park here. You know, I'm like, I don't go out with like bad intentions going, okay, I'm just like, look, you just can't park here. And I always begin like that. But if it flips, it's just like, all right, I'll meet you there. You want to raise your voice? I'll raise my voice. You want to talk smack? I'll talk smack. What? I'm not leaving. I'm here. And then we fast forward to where I've been lately. I just really feel I've been working on, you know, my temper hardcore for like 2-3 years. So it's, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that in the afternoon. And again, this is, you know, the day, that morning, I had this moment of like, wow, I kind of had this sense of a version I could be, and it was super moving. And I think, no, I didn't. I was going to tell Tech Scott, and I didn't. So I'm going to walk Zen. I walk out the back to put something in my car. And, you know, not that many cars are, you know, parked in the back. A lot of people have left for work or whatever. So there's this car sitting there, and I know it's not ours. And I walk up. I go, hey, can't park here. And he don't move, looking at his phone, just like, F you. And I'm like, hey, you can't park here. And, here's the sad part. Before, you know, any time at all had passed, he's like, you touch my car, or don't, or see what happens. Something about don't touch his car again. So I'm just like, bang, 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 just pounding my knuckles on his hood and going, what? And I don't know what I was going to put in my car, but I set that stuff down, and I forget my sunglasses, whatever, I set it down. I go, come on, let's just go right now. You get out. Come on, let's just go. I immediately, like I said, it's just like someone going, dude, let's go. And I'm like, I'm in. I'm like, there I am. I'm defending it. I have a right to defend it. And here I am. And it just goes back and forth. And he starts filming right away, recording. So I record him. I'm like, what? And it was just, you know, smack talk. And all of a sudden, I was kind of like just done. Like, he wasn't going to leave. And I was, I'm over it already. I don't care. I go, dude, did you have nothing better to do? I mean, you're sitting in a, illegally parked, and the guy walks out and says, you can't park here, and now you're out here, you know, talking smack, and you're recording me, and blah, 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 whatever. So I end up walking away, and he just keeps talking, and I turn the corner, and I'm out in the back of the apartment, so I walk to the front, And instead of just taking Zen for a walk, I go, I'm going to cut back through the apartment and just see what he's doing since I walked away. So I go, I go walking, and as long as it took me, just walking, walking, okay, come in the apartment, go upstairs, walk, start walking to where I could see. As soon as I could see him, I see him, and it's either an axe or a hammer in his hand, and he's walking to my truck and goes, bam, smashes the front windshield. Fun, right? The moments you look forward. Well, I just start running down, and, you know, I had my phone out before, and I grab my phone, and I start filming him, and he's like, just totally freaks out, jumps in his car, hits reverse, like tries to back up super, super fast, and I see my neighbor come out, and he comes out, and he starts filming, so I'm recording him, my neighbors record him, and I'm kind of in front of his car just like that, and I kind of stepped aside, and he just drives off fast. And I say, you know, my neighbor's like, hey, what happened? I said, oh, I broke my windshield, and know, thanks for coming out, whatever. And so I come upstairs and call, you know, police, and give them the information, tell them what happened. They're like, you know, you go to, you know, blahblah.com and fill out a police report. And then it hits me. I wasn't mad, and I wasn't, I didn't have like a sense of anger. It was like kind of disappointment. I was like, I did that. I did that whole thing. And why? And it was before I was in the police report. For whatever reason, it wouldn't take my address. It kept going, right? Or enter exact address. And I kept doing it. And then say, or cross street. So I would do the cross streets and go back and forth. And I was just sitting here, and I was like, sitting in the mud, feeling everything. You know, the hypotheticals now start. You know, I should have done this. I should have ran after him. What if I see him again? And it was just relentless. And all of a sudden I get a text from Scott. Can't remember what it said. And I'm like, I just effed up. And he's like, what? And I send him a picture of my windshield. And I go, can you talk later? And he's like, yeah. And there's all this stuff in my head. But one of the bigger ones is what I felt that morning, like 6 hours before. And I'm like, and then I do this, and it got yucky. Like, I just did not like that. And by the time I called Scott, I was like, you know, dude, what is up? Like, what's my problem? And it was pretty cool, because that's when Scott brought up the beautiful monster again. And I was like, and now, like, it's been, I don't know how long it's been, but there's just, you know, like, understanding it really sunk in after this, what I needed to do. Because the point about the beautiful monster is the monster is my anger, but we call it the beautiful monster because I have to love it. I can't ignore it. I can't get rid of it. I can't cut it out. It's there. It's part of me. But I gotta, like, love it. You know, and it's like, I got to hug it, embrace it, hold its hand, and then I'll be able to walk forward, meaning I'll be able to progress and get past it. And those were kind of the things that, when I was talking to Scott, that he kind of broke up. And the best things he said, he's like, you know, we always talk about the human construct. He goes, what is a parking lot? And that line literally affected me to where I was like, okay, that's like, I have, you know, I constructed that. Like, this is my responsibility. Well, okay, so people are just going to park here. You know that they're going to park here. And so you're just going, okay, I'm going to go out into chaos every so often and just accept it. I'm like, wow, I just like unconsciously was making that choice, making that decision. So he said this cool line. He said, your coping mechanism becomes so strong, and it's what helped you, you know, survive. And that's that thing is like, you know, you got to be thankful for it. You gotta love it. You gotta go, okay, I understand you, and I'm not mad at you, and I don't hate you. There can't be that negative view, because it's you. It's like, I hate this one arm. I just want to cut this one arm off and then move forward. It's like, no, you have to bring that arm with you. That is part of your body. You just can't go, okay, I'm going to cut this part out and move. That's not you. You can't cut a part out of you and move forward whole. You need to accept all of you. So it is like love, and again, that champion yourself, and you digging you, you loving you, you know, all that stuff is, which it's hard. It's just really, really hard to do. Now, again, in this moment, I had this beautiful morning moment dashed against the rocks of despair 6 hours later. And I'm just sitting there with this vision in my mind going, okay, well, this is who you are. You can't get rid of it. Like, obviously, like, and then Scott started talking about a place to return to, you know, from anger. Returning to your higher self. And he said, the reason that I can move past this is because I have another way of being. And then I was like, oh, okay, wait. It wasn't like, hey, this moment was a reminder that you'll never get rid of your temper. It's like, no, you've now distanced yourself more and more from it, you know, occupying a different space in this world, therefore having a different experience. So when it does pop its monster head up, it's shocking. It's like horrific. You just like are sure 100% you don't want that in your life. But again, the beautiful monster is that thing that you have to embrace, love, and, you know, be a hug, hold its hand, so then you can move forward. So these are the notes, one of the texts that Scott had sent to me. He said, it's not your ego, more you protecting the wounded child. It is your beautiful monster. And right when he started talking like this, you know, because we talked and then we text, but it were these words that really, really hit. And he had recommended a book, and then there's some quotes from the book. It is your beautiful monster. You learned to fight for a reason. It was what gave you strength, dealt on some level with your fear. But also, it is more simply your trigger, the big trigger, that someone else might make you feel small, weak, and helpless. And that's when I was just like a knife going into my heart. And I'm like, this is just so on the head. You don't want to return to that state, so you attack. And I was like, yeah, protecting that wounded child, you know? And this is a quote from the book. Beautiful monsters are formed in various ways. Sometimes we develop habits because of challenging relationships. Sometimes tendencies get provoked by circumstances. Sometimes repeated stress just makes us develop reactive habits. Something that was once helpful, like protecting ourselves in an unsafe, and this is in a book. Something that was once helpful, like protecting ourselves in an unsafe environment, can become a beautiful monster when it gets hardened and habitual. And when it said hardened, I was like, that's why I just do it. It's not kind of mushy and soft. Should I? It's like, no, I'm going. I'm jumping in. Let's go. I'm here. I'm ready. Oh, like getting, like listening to Scott and hearing, you know, what he had to say, and then getting these, I mean, it's like, oh, growth, but it is painful in a sense. You know, like this just was like, again, like a knife in the heart. But for some reason, you needed that knife to go into your heart. Oh, just fun. I'm having just fun. All right. We hate a certain kind of person or situation, even though we are no longer in danger. I often get asked, are all feelings and emotions beautiful monsters? I would say no. Normal anger is part of the healthy, authentic, relative truth. There is healthy anger, healthy fear, healthy attachment. These are not beautiful monsters. Beautiful monsters form when there is some unhealthy distortion in our mind and feelings, and then we start to believe their version of relative truth. If we become caught up by these beautiful monsters, they become our lenses. the way we see the world and see ourselves. When we heal those, we have normal, healthy emotions and experiences. Healthy human beings have a full range of motions. That's another quote. Once we've met the feelings and really felt them, we can just be with them. At first, don't talk, just be there. Once we can be with them, a shift will occur, and our feelings and beautiful monsters will start to trust us, little by little. The trust will develop because we are no longer suppressing or ignoring them. When they attack us, we just touch them. We aren't hitting back. The handshake has contact with open love. When they tell us their stories, we listen. They will start to open up, and eventually they will ask a question. Then we can finally have a conversation. We can share our wisdom, giving good reasoning. We can tell them it's real, but it's not true. The feeling is real, but the message is not true. Yes, you really felt unworthy, but you aren't unworthy. The mind can send a message to the feelings because we've earned their trust. The feelings can communicate to the beautiful monsters. When the beautiful monster starts to understand and feel, I am not a monster, healing can happen. Until we touch the beautiful monster with awareness, the kindness of non-judging, the beautiful monster doesn't care. Lots of stuff, lots of work. It was just, I remember being so tired, like Friday night. And then Saturday was a rather unique day because I started, you know, getting back to the way I was. You know, Scott said, I have another way of being. I was going back to that. There was this moment that I felt, it might even have been Sunday then, but I started feeling like really good. And it hit me almost immediately. It's like I had to take that one step back in order to feel this good. Because if I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have reached out to Scott. We wouldn't have, you know, talked about the beautiful monster again. He wouldn't have sent me those book quotes. It wouldn't have clicked. And it's a kind of a crazy tangent. But Shia LaBeouf, actor, you know, has a pretty crazy story. I mean, if you think of him, you probably, you know, have heard more crazy stories than anything positive about the dude. And I didn't hear, but I guess he, you know, he did something to a girl that wasn't cool. And I don't know if it was on a movie set or with a, you know, a girl he was seeing. I don't know what it was, but, it, you know, not a positive moment. So he's on this podcast with John Bernthal. And Shia LaBeouf was like, you know, thank you for, you know, giving me this platform. No one really wants to talk to me right now. And they had been friends from shooting this movie Fury together. And John Bernthal was like, you know, I just think that a real friend would stay by you when you went through this and then stuck with you after it to make sure that you were, you know, living a better life. And then Shia LaBeouf went on to say he was very thankful for this woman who, like, you know, kind of blew the whistle on him, got him in trouble, turned his life upside down, and, you know, definitely tainted his reputation and career. And he's like, yeah, I'm so thankful for her. And then that's what made sense. And it's one of the things I thought of when this happened. Because the honest truth was it was either Saturday or Sunday, because there was like the little lull period of me adjusting and, you know, looking at it with this awareness and trying to, you know, hug my beautiful monster and wondering what that meant and how I would move forward. And then I shared this with Scott. And this is the truth. Like, this is the honest to God truth and what I felt I was up against. I think it was like the next morning and I'm like, okay, this is what it's got to be. This guy has to represent me not doing this. I'm not getting involved, not protecting the parking lot, not doing this. But he I think he said something like I was waiting for his girl. So I'm like, you know, maybe he's got to come back. Maybe she goes to the recording school nearby or like that. So if I see him again, I'm definitely going to break his window. And then I'm going to really pursue this. And I said it just like that to Scott. He looked at me. I go, well, right. I mean, of course, that's what I do. I mean, that's the obvious choice is I, you know, if I see his car, I break his window and then I move forward. And he kind of starts laughing. And I kind of, and I'm like, that was a legitimate thought. Like that just went in my head. And I was like, well, yeah, of course. I'm going to break his window next time, you know, cause him chaos and panic and fear and doubt and everything that, you know, I'm going to fight. And then I'm going to finally turn that corner. And I was like, wow. And again, that was that monster. And I'm like, you know, I could even go, okay, I'm healed. I've moved on. It will never raise its ugly head again. And it's going to. It's how I'm going to respond. And why does it keep responding every once in a while? Because I haven't moved forward. I haven't hugged the beautiful. I want to get rid of it. I want to forget it. I want to leave it in my past. Can't. Nope. Coming with you. So I'm in the stall period. You know, it's like I got to that next level. I'm right there and I can see it. I tasted it Friday morning. I felt it. It's right there. And it's like, well, just to let you know here, bam, this thing, this beautiful monster is coming with you. So whenever you want to move forward, however fast, however slow, but if you'd like to move forward, you will be bringing your beautiful monster with you. I was like, wow. But that's when I kind of started about that. Okay, that guy, he's got to represent, this is the end of everything. Like I, and then it was by the next day going, like, okay, here you are, Tom, in your head, you see this guy, do you want to run? And I was like, immediately, no. Like, we're just like, oh, I'm going to jump right back in the mud. Because then what? He's just going to go, all right, cool, we're even. Thanks, man. And drive away. It's like, no, it'll just, you're now you're back in the mud. Why would you do that? And then that's when that kind of peace came in. I kind of felt like this shift. And I'm like, well, I know what I don't want to do. I know what I can't do. It's not my parking lot. I got to keep that little phrase in my head. And then, Scott, I don't know. I'm not sure when, but he sent me kind of some background music. Like I play the slow TV that, you know, all the time. And it's just on in the background. And birds chirping, you know, water, fireplace, you know, scenic stuff. Some has music, whatever, but just on in the background. So when I listen to music, it's like, oh, it's music I like. And it's almost like I'm participating. But he sent me this. I don't know if he sent me. I think he sent me the whole album. And you know, highlighted one song or whatever. And it was just like, I know for a fact I wouldn't have liked this at any other time in my life, and I knew immediately it was perfect. Because when I put it on, I wouldn't, you know, turn it up all the way. So it was kind of like, you know, there was music in the background, but not like a song and, you know, singing or anything. That was just like this music. So it was in the background. So it kind of helped me focus. And it kind of helped me stay internal. So all of a sudden, next thing you know, I'm laying down, eyes closed, listening to this music. Next thing you know, I'm foam rolling. And it got really trippy when I was foam rolling and listening to this kind of celestial kind of background, atmospheric kind of ambiance, whatever kind of music. Like it was just, and I was like, okay, if I can feel this, like, what if I did it every morning? Like, what if I, before I got in my car, what if I got in my car and I was, and that's what it was. So I was like, playing this music, getting in my car. And I was like, this is just like, this is where I'm headed. And then that moment happened. So again, you can just see the polarity into like, oh, I'm on this thing and it's leading me to greener pastures and more peace and more quiet, more contentment, more solitude. You know, I'm vibrating higher. Hey, yo, beautiful monster, what's up? Let's smash this guy's window. And I'm like, how does that fit into anything that I'm doing? But it's cool to kind of undig that stuff because I had to think about, okay, like me as a young toddler, like we're thinking 2, 3, 4, didn't have a temper. I wasn't angry. And I wasn't afraid. I know that for a fact. But around 5, 6, I start kind of working for my dad, mowing lawn, helping him in the garage, and all of a sudden it's like under scrutiny. And now the fear and the relentless pursuit of trying to get, a friendly nod from my dad, a thumbs up, attaboy, way to go, proud of you, love you, something. And it was pretty barren. So it was like, well, look, I didn't go, hey, I'm going to start having anger. I'm going to get a temper. I mean, none of that really happened until I was like 18. I remember the first time I kind of lost it at my dad. And I remember screaming, like yelling something and screaming it. And I talked about like shooting myself or something. Like the one time I got mad at him, it was just like because I was like completely, frustrated as his son and would just rather not be here than continue it. I mean, it was pretty painful. But it was the only time I kind of raised my voice. And it wasn't like I'm raising my voice in anger. It was just like complete pain. But a few months later, I'm in karate. I'm really taken to it and really starting to get good at it. And now I can kick people and break boards and punch people and fight. And then I start doing well. And this was just like, okay, now I'm experiencing freedom. I'm experiencing a little bit of, I like this guy. And then here comes the anger and here comes the temper. And that became my strength. And now I was on a totally different path and I wasn't afraid anymore. And I didn't really give a rat's ass about a whole lot else because I wasn't afraid anymore. So I wasn't trying to grow. I wasn't trying to mature. I wasn't trying to, I was like, all right, I'm going to be this guy. And then, again, chase all these external things. So embracing that. Listening to Scott and reading those quotes, and I just haven't ordered the book. What is it? It's called Why We Meditate. That's what it is. I can't find it right now. But yeah, it's called Why We Meditate. So I want to get that book. And it was just talking about it. And then I just remember like two or three clients in a row. I was like, okay, you can't. And it was the same thing. It's like, yeah, I kind of had a bad day. And, it's kind of beating myself. And I'm like, we can't. It's all of you. All of you has to move forward. So all of you has to love all of you, even those yucky parts that aren't serving you right now. Because that's the only way they'll heal. Because they'll heal as you move forward. But you can't move forward without those parts. You can't move forward without your beautiful monster. That's completely the moral to the story. You cannot move forward without your beautiful monster. Where are we at? Okay, so here's a... To meditate is to see yourself. So again, the first time you see yourself, maybe you're in your 20s or 30s or 40s and you're stopping, pausing, reflecting for the first time, not fun, will not be enjoyable. It just won't be because you'll see what's going on and how little control you have and how much time and energy you're wasting. And, it becomes, it's so weird. It was almost like it was addictive because the awareness and the clarity just seemed to grow. And again, personal growth is not comfortable. It's not familiar. Again, the caterpillar in the cocoon, changing into a butterfly. There's just nothing that screams I'm comfortable in that cocoon to me at all. And that's how I see personal growth. We can all become that butterfly, but we got to go to the cocoon, and we all kind of start out as that caterpillar. So it's, the courage to go, okay, I'm going to embrace discomfort. I'm going to go through it all because I think I'm worth it, and I want to see myself as that butterfly. So you get to change. You don't get to cut out and leave it behind, but you can change, and it's changing how you look at yourself and how you look at those, wounds or that pain or that trauma. It's not who you are. It's just part of who you are, but you can't hate a part of you. if you don't know true balance, you cannot return to it. And I was talking to a client about the same thing. I said, you know, when you wobble, what's your instinct? Is to regain your balance. When do you gain the strength then? When you're regaining your balance. So it's like when Scott was saying, you know, return to your higher self, because you now have another way of being. It's the same thing. You're meditating and you kind of lose concentration, bring it back. You know, you're having a good day and you're staying focused and you kind of get sidetracked, you know, return. Return to that baseline. You know, return to that higher self. And that returning, always returning, because we're not going to be perfect and just automatically stay there, but that returning will take time and energy, but that's where the strength building is going to occur. All right, where are we at now? I think we're moving on. So it is that time of year where Zen and the podcast and I turn a year older. And in 2020, that was kind of the cool number year, Zen turned 5, podcast turned 5, I turned 55. That's 4 fives, add them up. It's 20. What year is it? 2020. So it was kind of, that's how we started the year. That's what I thought about. And it turned into be the best year of my life thus far. Next year got better, and the next year we are in now even better. But Zen has now turned 8. And Zen has changed more in this past year than ever before, as far as, like, you know, getting older, like really slowed down. And it was kind of gnarly. I mean, 2022, I mean, you know, we go to the park and he would lay down. And I'm like, we do that now. We just kind of stop and chill. I was like, okay, cool. And he would get really tired. Like, he would just all of a sudden, like, be like, out. And I was like, man, he's just, like, I'm moving around. He would, like, every time I move, he would wake up and, like, see where I'm going. And he just wasn't moving. And it was like, not, I don't want to say scary, but I was like, just like deep, deep sleep. And I'm like, oh, I just, so I had to start thinking about, I have to limit his fun. I have to limit his play. Because then it went on to where, you know, Austin, you just get these bursts of energies where he's running zoomies and he's like, let's go to the park. And then we would play. And then a dog would come, and a puppy, like 2 years old or a year old, and he'd run with it and play with it. And just, and we'd walk home and he would just like step. And I'm like, he just started doing this walk slow thing. Like, there's just kind of this natural little trot. You know, whatever we were walking. It was like this little trot he did. Now it was just step, step, step. And then after a big, you know, kind of exertion, he'd lay down, crash for however long. And then when he first would get up, it's like he was super stiff. And so I was seeing this and I was like, and then, like, when he was really crazy, spent, tired, and he kind of, like, got up like he was going to adjust, and he's like, you could see him almost, like, push with his back legs, and they're like, yeah, that ain't happening. And he's like, and he just lay back down. And I was like, did you just, like, you couldn't get up, right? So I started having these thoughts of, you know, that was this year where I think my level of output was always like, I got to get, you know, tires in and out. I got to take him places. I got this. And this 2022 was like, oh, cool. I can, you know, pretty easily get him to where he's had enough exercise. You know, I don't have to really, you know, it was like kind of a cool place to be for me as the dog owner. But it was just this reminder going, yeah, but now he's headed that way. You know, he's not old, but he's not young anymore. You know, he hit that point. People saw him running with like 2-3 puppies. Like, how old's your dog? And I'm like, 8. And they're like, oh my God, that's so fantastic. I'm like, yeah, but the rest of the day he's going to be shot. You know, I mean, he's shooting his watch. So again, like the last, you know, even this last week, I've been like doing kind of good, because I cut down. He was playing, chasing the ball. I'm like, okay, we're done. We're going to leave the park. And he was, you know, wrestling with some dogs and playing. I'm like, okay, we're going to cut that down. And, you know, because it's like, I want him to be able to kind of function the rest of the day, not just exert it all to where he's spent. And then he's like all, you know, crazy sore. But that's this whole new thing now. You know, a whole entire, Scott said at one time, he's like, you know, your dogs change and you change with them. But, you know, we cuddle more, and we, you know, we like, he just seems to like lay on me more. And I do, I like, you know, I've talked about Zen so much, but I feel closer to him like all the time. And I'll just sit and I will just hug him and I will hold him. And I'll go through, you know, a lot of times I'm holding him when I do my 60 thank yous. And I hold, I just, you know, hug him and pet him like as much as I can, because I know he's not going to be here forever. You know, and it's that constant reminder of staying aware of that. But it's that thing where, you know, turning eight and how he is, it's like, okay, now he's on that path. He's not going to get more energy. You know, he's going to slow down, and he's going to, you know, slow down more. And I, there's part of me that likes talking about him, because it's like, you know, this is my verbal journal. And, you know, it's out there. You know, it's uploaded, and it's like, hey, it's, you know, it's going to be there. And I'm glad I'm talking about my love for my dog, my best friend, you know, in the world, the best thing that I've ever had, the best relationship I've ever had, the best experience I've ever had with another thing, be it human or animal or whatever. And I can say that openly and, you know, honestly and sincerely. What Zen and I have together is the best thing I've ever had. Done. Fact. All right, this, I think we're on the last little note here, which is a trippy thing. Scott texts me, you know, sometimes Scott will just be up early journaling or something. He'll text me, I just wrote this down. And he talked about like experiencing a version of himself, sensing, you know. And it reminded me of this picture. Part, I was going to maybe use it for the episode photo, but I probably won't. When I first moved here in California in 1999, I had a hookup with you know, a dude that, you know, did some pictures with me. So I was going to get, you know, into modeling. So it was the first probably 6 months I was here. I got some shots done. And this one picture I really liked, and it was just me walking on the beach. I had the khaki pants on, you know, rolled up on the bottom, you know, no socks or shoes, and tank top, and I had really, you know, short hair at the time, sideburns. And, you know, again, I could look at a photo and go, wow, those eyes are not saying anything. Or I'm like, wow, that picture really speaks, or it makes me feel like, if a photo is going to move you, I can feel that. So, I mean, I've got to get a pretty good read on photos. So I remember the very first time I saw this photo, I remember liking it and going, I'm not him. Like, just like it was a punch in the face. Because I didn't go to the beach. I didn't hang out. I didn't go for walks, but it just seemed like this guy that was alone, that didn't care and didn't have a worry. And therefore, he was walking on the beach, not to do anything, not to achieve anything. It was just him in that moment. And it was just, I mean, I didn't even consciously register all this. There was just this feeling that I was like, what? The guy in that photo appears to have, I know I don't. And I have no idea how to get it. That was just like this fact. I didn't dwell on it. I didn't think about it for a long time. And this past year, like, it would come up on, I would post it, you know, with some modeling shots or whatever. And it would, after that, it would come up as a memory once in a while. And last year, I think it came up and I saved it to my phone. And it was kind of this reminder going, remember looking at that and going, yeah, you're not him. And that's kind of all I thought about. And when Scott texted me, I was like, isn't that, like, I've not shared that story with anybody ever about that photo. And I decided to send it to Scott and share just basically what I did. He was like, wow, that's kind of trippy. I don't have a visual or a photo going, you know, that's what I want to be or that's what I would be. But I'm like, this was like a haunting picture. Like, it would just flash up, and every time I saw it, it was just, you're not him. You're not him. You're still not him. You have no, because I just remember like the chaos. Like, most people didn't know it, but what was inside. So I would see this representation of this content dude with solitude walking alone on a beach and being fine. I was like, yeah, I don't have that. Yeah, I don't. But then I thought, like, I'm closer to that dude than ever before right now. And I hadn't really thought about it. Like, that's what was trippy about Scott's text. And, you know, this topic came up. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to share something I've never shared with anybody. And I'm like, but, you know, it was almost a goal in a sense. Like, I wanted to not be afraid. I wanted to feel peace. I wanted to feel contentment. I wanted to know who I was. I didn't want to have all these questions, no answers. And although I had some things going on and outside looking in, I was probably like a together dude that was healthy, pretty positive attitude, you know, accomplished, you know, a lot of things. Like, all right, can't be that bad inside his head. And it's just funny now, you know, here now, end of March 1st, that was, I don't know, maybe the 3rd is where the first episode came out. So end of February, beginning of March, the podcast will turn 8. And to think back, you know, at all I've done and all I've discovered and the clarity I've gained, all to get to the point where I was like, okay, you're 51 and you're going to stop doing everything you've done. Stop pursuing everything you've pursued, and you're going to walk the earth differently. And you don't really know what that is yet. And I, you know, started the podcast. I had gotten to the, you know, got Zen. I had gotten to an accident with Zen. And I was like, okay, I just hit a place where it was like, things were kind of shaking and kind of settling. And I'm like, okay, from this moment forward, I'm going to move forward in a direction. But I'm going to pick that direction and I'm going to base it on what I haven't received, what I haven't got, what I don't feel, what I haven't experienced. And it was, you know, cutting out all the things that I pursued, all the things that were familiar, all the things that I thought I needed or should have. And poof, 52 was, I'm going on a spiritual journey. Meaning I'm not going to pursue the things I pursued in the past. And a quick, short 3 years later, I was turning 55, and that was the best I've ever been. And I was like, this is insane. I didn't think I could live like this, and it's sustainable. Like, I'm consistently this place. Like, I'm not, like, I felt good and it stayed there. That's never, well, I never felt that good, but any time I did feel kind of good, it never lasted. I never counted on lasting. Like, where I operated was like in Strugglesville. Like, it was the moment I woke up, it was challenging mentally. And if something made me feel good, I would fire up, but all that was a high, high, and the next thing that was coming was a low, low. That was my life. That was the roller coaster. And it was all internal. It was all mental. It was all emotional. So then I would reach out externally to solve that, which doesn't work. And last podcast, it's on you. So kind of deciding that or kind of embracing that and going, all right, I'm going to stop chasing the things I chased, pursuing the things I pursued. And I'm going to see what's up for me. That's, you know, where that moment happened. All right, it's on me. I'm going to put into me. I hadn't really done it. I had no idea. But if you just do a little bit of that, that little bit comes back. That's good. Goes to you. Soul benefactor. Win-win. Just a tiny, tiny nugget of time and effort comes back. Little bit of feel good. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. Just a little bit of time and attention, energy I put towards this thing for me, and it made me feel better. And now that's addictive. Now that becomes habitual. Because you're like, so if I do A, I get B, and that's consistent. Okay, I don't need, you know, 2 and 2 is 4. Okay, got it. I don't need to chat about it. I don't need to find out why it's not 5. And that's kind of bringing it full around. It's like getting to the point now where I'm like, oh, I'm the best I've ever been. I'm having moments, you know, sharing stuff with Scott, going, dude, I had this moment, da, 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 da. And then boom. Okay. You know what I need to do? I need to grab that wounded child, little Tommy, by the hand, say it's okay, you know, this isn't your fault, but you're going to go through, you know, anger and you're going to have a temper, and you're going to see the other side, and you're going to want to get out of that. And I'm just going to walk you forward through it. I'm going to let you know it's okay because it wasn't your fault. And I'm going to accept you. And I'm going to accept why you had anger. You were hurt. You know, anger isn't the first emotion. It's hurt. It's pain. Number two is anger. Second phase, second emotion is anger. So you don't cause the pain. Therefore, you didn't cause the anger. It's just what you did to survive. You know, that was your coping mechanism. And it just became really strong, which was a dope thing. Until it wasn't. And that's where I am now. Like, my anger, my temper is not a strength anymore to me. It's an anchor. It's tethering me. So in order to untether myself, I have to embrace that anger. I have to embrace, love, hug my beautiful monster and say, it's okay, little Tommy. It's okay, anger. It's okay, temper. I hear you. I feel you. We're just going to move forward. You're okay now. You're safe now. So hoping, sharing what I share. You can just pull something. You know, I just, like, one thing resonates. I'm like, yay. I mean, one person has one thing that resonates them. They can take that nugget, move forward, and perspire. Not perspire, aspire to, you know, reach to that next level, the next version of them, their higher self. Look for those things. You know, when I say, you know, come to my well, buy the water I sell. The water is my story. And I'm sharing that. And you can take what you want from that and apply it. And, you know, what resonates, take, and what doesn't resonate, you leave. But, you know, again, this is, you know, for me to take notes and write this down and get it organized and then going, okay, I'm going to share that. I know it helps me heal. I know that's why there's a part of me going, no, you keep working on you. You're going to keep needing help because you're going to keep needing to heal more and more. And that podcast has always served you because I get it out. I get it out of my head and I get it down on the sticky notes. I get it down on the dry erase board and then I speak it. I get it out of my head and then I get to move forward. And I guarantee what I went through with the window, with the whole chatting for 3-4 days continually about Beautiful Monster, organizing this episode, going through it in my mind, recording it. That's a lot of time and energy. And that's going to be an impactful moment in my life. And in 3 months, 6 months, a year, I'll look back and I'll be like, okay, I'm thankful for that moment because that's when I shifted even harder. That's when I was really able to move forward. But again, went through something pretty yucky. Like, you know, wasn't fired up about sharing it, not proud of it. But, you know, I want to be obviously transparent. And again, if I'm going to share my water, I'm going to share my water. If I want it to benefit you, it's got to be truthful. So putting it out there and going, look, how, you know, whatever your thing is, whatever your monster is, to you, it's got to be beautiful. And when you do that, you're going to be able to move forward. And I like that, where that, you know, that higher self is going to thank you now for the way you're responding, choosing how to respond. Because that's going to ensure you continue to grow and you become the best version that you can. Because you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your Pro You moment. As always, stoked you're here. Just a great little thing to do. that reminds me every time. It's a wonderful example of little things done consistently and how impactful they can be. So let us begin to control that which we can. Seated on the floor, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over your hips, navel tucked into your spine. We'll draw the inhale through the nose, slowing it down, elongating it, controlling it. We'll allow the breath out the mouth, slowing it down, elongating it. So we're going to keep control of that breath, the flow, the ebb and flow. And to do that, we'll need to stay focused, which will connect our mind and our body, which will keep us wonderfully present in this moment. Anything else enters the space between your ears, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Bravo. Well done. You know, this episode is like, we go, well, here's step number 454. The next step on the path of personal growth. Meaning there's no destination. There's no end. There's no, I got there. I did that. I'm done with that. And why? just because you're worth it. You're worth the work. You're worth the time. You're worth the energy. You're worth the effort. But when you put into you, whether it's, you know, embracing your beautiful monster, or just making a pro-you decision, or choosing a wonderful response that serves you, that little moment that's for you, by you, is powerful. And that can be that breadcrumb, which I also call the truth. And you will follow that breadcrumb, and you will look for the next one, and you will find that next truth, and you will discover that the truth is everything that you do for you will benefit you and impact your experience and change your experience. That's my belief. That's why I do what I do and why I share what I share. It is not easy. It is not fun. It is not familiar. It's just a fork in the road. And just keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting what you're getting. Or you stop, pause, reflect, and go, all right, let's see what's up with this personal growth. I heard it's not fun, familiar, easy, or comfortable. But that other path wasn't great either. You know, I put a bunch of energy into relationships, into making money, into my relationship with my father, relationship with my siblings, relationship with my family, certain friends, just and it's not fun or comfortable to go, all right, I didn't get that relationship. I'm gonna have to walk away from that relationship. I can't count on that person. They're not a positive part of my life, and I need to cut it out. That's not fun. It's not comfortable. But you got to get to that place where you deem yourself worthy. That's it. Got it. It's on you. And part of moving forward is loving you, all of you, accepting all of you. Especially that beautiful monster. Peace and God bless.